Shut up. What is on Triple M?
Tools down.
You've all had a big busy week.
Radio on.
Look how happy they are.
Triple M footy roars into the weekend.
Oh, it's red hot.
Game on. Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC.
This is the Friday Huddle for Ream Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
World's best night at the mighty MCG. Probably 23 degrees at the moment. Collingwood getting set to unfurl the flag. What time they do that is a point of discussion. We'll be all over it. Guests, oh yes, Johnny Longmire, the coach of the Swans, to join us. Peter Moore, VFL legend, son, won the premiership, held the cup up with him, Darcy. Looking forward to chatting with him. Steel Sidebottom to join us as well. A lot to get through. We've got the top five and an interesting look at the most influential people in football, all still to come. I look around and I'm lucky enough to call these gentlemen friends of mine. And I look, of course, to the captain, still holds the role this year. Got a real brushed hair forward look on him tonight, but he looks good as always. Luke Darcy, hello to you, Darcy.
The hairdresser put a few extra greys in this time around. Howie, as it turns out, I was here last night, saw a cracking game. Richmond were very brave. Nearly came home with a long injury list and Roel Carlton. Isaac Smith, I've worked with him for the first time in the Triple M commentary box. He's a nice addition to the Triple M family. Good to be here.
Look across at my man, the Chief. He's got a pair of white Archie thongs on which support the bottom of your foot, which is always good. He's got a tight blue Benetton T-shirt on and a pair of boardies as well. He looks good. He looks happy. He looks smiley and looks warm, friendly and receptive. Hello to you, Jason.
Hello, idiot. You just can't help yourself.
No, I can't.
You're in an overly happy mood tonight.
I'm always happy. I've had a great day.
Yeah, but you're over the top. You must have come into some cash again today.
No, I had a great day. Those Archies, that's Sarah Jones' brother. Yeah. So if you need a bit of support in your thoughts,
very, very comfortable.
Get yourself in a pair of those. I look at my man, the Brown Bomber. He looks good. He's been sparring. Saw some videos this week where he maybe got nearly put on his bum, but he looks good. Nathan Brown, hello to you.
Had a great week, Howard. I came to the footy last night. For the first time, I sat out in the outer and the atmosphere at the Carlton crowd, they probably dominated 70% to 30% Richmond for the crowd, and it was just a really good atmosphere. I loved it. It was a great game last night. A lot of mistakes, but I enjoyed it thoroughly.
And the number one opinionist in football, Damien Barrett, wanders in looking fantastic. You're still holding on to the beard. How are you, great man?
I'm okay, Howard. It's weird, isn't it, coming to the footy today for the second match of round one, knowing that Carlton has already banked 8 premiership points when 10 other teams have not even played a game.
Well, let's talk about the Blues. Darcy, you were here, Chief. I saw you on Fox. Nath, you were obviously here. Are they the real deal, Chiefy boy?
They took a while to get going, but we expected a response from the Tigers. And I think we've got to say first and foremost, a lot of people were ready to write the Tigers off after last week, after that game at the Gold Coast where they got comprehensively beaten. I had a feeling there'd be some sort of response, and I think they redeemed themselves. When you consider they were 3 down for the second half, they ran themselves to a standstill, and they had players coming back. Dustin Martin, Toby Nankervis and Tom Lynch, who they wanted to put on limited minutes for the game, and they just weren't able to. So I thought it was incredibly heroic what we got from them. But the positive from a Blues perspective was, again, they didn't play at their best, but they found a way to get back into the game, and when it was there to be won, they got themselves over the line. And you can just see the belief growing in this group. And let me tell you, sitting here watching it last night, and Brownie, you'll attest to it, the noise that the Blues supporters made, it was like being at a packed Collingwood game.
Yeah.
They made the same sort of noise. It was overpowering.
I reckon the Blues are tougher than what they were last year. I noticed that particularly in the second half last week against the Brisbane Lions when there were some bodies to be hit. It was the Carlton players doing it. And you know who impressed me the most when it comes to that was Cunningham. I think he is a real general around those stoppages, and he is hard. And players like, I think Kemp is very, very undersized, but does a really good job. Played on Martin for bits last night. So those players around the edge for the Blues are getting better again.
And Harry Mackay, I think, is probably the most exciting story for Carlton so far in my mind. Last year, there was times I thought, has he really lost his will and passion for playing footy? He looked like he had really gone down a path going to be hard to get back from. He looks sharp.
He looks like he wants the ball now too, Jim.
Genuinely does, doesn't it? And when it's in his area, you feel like he's a chance to take a contested mark. That makes them a much better side.
You mentioned, Brownie, you were in the outer last night.
Yeah.
Mail has reached a few of us in the box that you were also in the corporate area pre-match. Mm.
I was invited to the Carlton President's function.
And I raise that because you're asked to speak and hold a microphone in your hand and speak to the masses.
Oh, it was a Q&A.
Yeah. And I'm raising this because you took great delight when,
as your host.
When you attended a function I was emceeing about 2 years ago. Yeah. And I put my hand up.
No one listened to you.
I couldn't control the room for at least
minutes.
5 minutes. I got together after about 7 or 8, but for the first five, it was nothing.
Not one person.
What I got told last night.
45 minutes.
By two different people who don't know each other.
Right.
Both know me and know that I'm good mates with you. Said your mate's up on stage and not one person amongst the 500 is listening to you.
There were some laughs. There was some laughs. When I got down to my table, Janine Goiter said that was very entertaining.
Janine Goiter would have heard you because she was on table one, I'd imagine. That was the only table that might have heard you.
Who was on the panel with you?
Mark Murphy.
Yep.
So he good fellow. Had to go to the ABC straight after that, though. So, and Jason Richardson was the MC.
Was it a paid function, Nate? Was this?
No,
yes.
No, just tickets. I heard behind the glass.
Tickets.
And Jude came along, and I tell you what, Diesel came over and sat down.
Did anyone listen to what you say? Because I've got
Janine Goiter.
Did you one person?
I did get a corroborating text from a mate of mine who happens to be a Carlton supporter.
Of course you did. What's his name?
He did say.
What's his name?
He did say.
What's his
Nathan,
name?
I'm not going to name.
He's not going to be sourcing.
He's not a public figure like you.
You can't think of a name.
He did say that not a single person listened.
Right.
Was it your,
what were you rolling with?
You can only be as good as your questions you're asked, Damien. Who was asking the question?
Who was asking the question?
Jason Richardson. If he didn't do his preparation, he was good, though. He's a very good host, Jason Richardson.
And Mark Murphy?
Mark Murphy was great. Yep, he did a good job, too.
Talking about celebrations for Carlton, I've got a date to throw at you, gentlemen, because we're not in the event planning business, but I think we need to move into it. Because, Darce, on the 14th of August, which is a Wednesday night, Mr. 1254 is turning 60.
Yes.
And I think this could potentially be the biggest social event Melbourne sees for
2024. Sign me up. I don't know what you got in mind.
I don't know.
I'll be out of town.
I'd like to be involved, Chief.
I will not be out of town.
Where will you be?
Somewhere other than Melbourne.
I think so.
Who's going to be the
August
plus one?
Wow. Jeez.
I'll be out of town. I don't even know why you're talking about it.
Can you put the?
I haven't celebrated the last 40 birthdays. Why would I start?
Well, this is a big one. It's a big one.
It's a big milestone.
You know, we will celebrate it even if you don't attend.
There's no guarantee I'll be breathing by that day.
No, there will. What was the film where someone popped out of the cake? It was Under Siege.
Under Siege.
I think we all got on something like that.
On the
maybe Derm popped out of the cake or something.
That would be inappropriate if you've seen the movie.
Not if it was Derm.
That would be even more inappropriate.
Chief, the thing about you is that you're getting better with age.
Yep.
You were fairly angry in your first 40 birthdays and you weren't necessarily someone that liked to socialise. Now you're actually a much better version of yourself, Chief. It's
true,
time to have a big party.
But I won't be around for that. And I don't have big parties.
Well, I think we're going to throw one. Through the year, we're going to throw one. We'll organise entertainment. You've got 100%. Your venue down there.
Celebrate
any one of a number of venues.
Chief, if you had one musical act that you could request at your 60th, who would you go for? Set as a target. Set as a target,
you're not going to be able to get anything satisfactory.
Well, come on, give us.
The bottom line is, if I had a party, you're assuming you'd make the cut. How? And we just spoke to Steel Cypher about Daisy Thomas. We're speaking to.
We pre-recorded that, Chief. That hasn't gone to air yet. You are getting close to 60, aren't you? Your 60's coming in a hurry.
You won't make the cut.
SEN last Saturday.
Yeah.
And the reason I raise that, because our great mates Pickers and Hutchie have been running a show there for a long time.
Have they?
They like reminding people that other people at the M's have gone up against them. And the reason I raise that is because Pickers came off a very long run.
Did he?
Yes.
And I don't know whether you've heard this, but you get a mention.
He named names.
Nathan Brown gets a mention, and it's not complimentary.
So the M's are at it again. They're throwing a new combination at us. They've thrown a lot of combos. I mean, they're running out. They'd be punch drunk from throwing all those punches you've thrown over 17 years at us. This is a list of dead set legends that we've sent off to the dead set sick bay over the last 17 years. From the back line, I've got him in a team. Emma Friedman in the back pocket. Damien Fleming tried. He had a go, Flem, and Howie. On the half back line is Jay-Z Clark. He's had about four goes at it. Campbell Brown, he had a go. Even Brown, he had a go. And Chuck Berry was there on the half back flank. Centre line's pretty strong. Joey Montagna, we sent him off last year. Swatter did it a while ago. And Jude Bolton also had a crack, so he's off to the sick bay as well. Half forward line, another one of the ones with Joey Limo. The Duck had a go at centre half forward. And Kath Lochman, we sent her off last year as well. In the forward line, we've got Brian Taylor. Brendan Favola had a crack too, and so did Scotty Cummings, so it's a big, powerful forward line. In the ruck, Billy had a go. Billy Brown was in the ruck. Nathan Bennett is the ruck rover, and Bernie Vince is the rover.
Oh,
we
yeah,
sent him no, off
they
as well.
Did, yeah, they did.
And the interchange, they couldn't quite make the starting 18, Russell Barwick and Sarah Marie Cameron.
So I just want to let the floor be open for both you and Brownie to reply, because well, that was very condescending.
I got
and he's a mate of mine, Pickers, but it was very condescending.
He's got a weight of his own nose.
Oh, don't get personal,
what
mate.
What do you mean? I got a couple of thoughts, Damo, and I love Off the Bench with Hutchie and Pickers. It's a fantastic show, and they've been whacking away there at 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning for 21 years, Darcy.
Have they really?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think you have to look at... I did Dead Set Legends. I did it with Fev, who's now getting paid $1.5 million on Fox. I did it with Nath, who's got about 17 different media jobs. And I did it with Campbell Brown, who, you know, he does what he wants. And the duck is so big that he's moved out of media. But when you look at it, obviously the phone probably hasn't been ringing for Pickers. Nath, he's been whacking away there for 20 years doing the same thing. Do you know what it reminds me of, Darcy?
What's that, Howie?
Well, it's a bit like, say, someone like Jamie Cox, Chief. Fantastic cricketer, played 130 Shield games. Unfortunately, didn't get the call up to play for Australia. It's like Jamie Cox saying, oh, I've seen off Adam Gilchrist because he's not playing Shield cricket anymore. Oh. Illy's moved on to bigger, better things. He's playing for Australia. And I think the people that he's mentioned, Nathan, have been given the opportunity to have all sorts of different media experience. But unfortunately for Pickers, maybe because he's so negative, the phone just hasn't rung for 20 years, so he's still whacking away with Hutchie.
On that team have gone on to bigger and better things.
Yes.
Emma Friedman is doing wonderful things. Wayne Schwoss is running his own company as well. So Brian Taylor is probably the biggest name going around.
Maybe it was about the ratings. Did they consistently win the ratings?
I had a chat with Ewan. I actually got some numbers from Ewan. So across a 12-year period, Dead Set Legends compared to what's Hutchie's show called?
Off the Bench.
Off the Bench. So across the 10-year period, 66% more ratings on Dead Set Legends than what Pickers is rolling out. But I do love the show, and I think they're both fantastic talent. But unfortunately, Pickers is stuck in the same position he was 21 years ago, Dars.
I think Pickers needs to donate his body to medical science, because the fact that you can consume that much Pepsi Max and that many darts and still be standing upright. Pickers, he's a modern Marvel, Pickers. I'd like to...
These are your mates, like, Damo.
They are.
About.
They are. But I didn't like Damo the tone of that conversation last week.
I do enjoy the show. They do a great job.
I listen to it too.
It's a very good show.
When the ad breaks are on Dead Set.
And it's all tongue in cheek. But who new Dead Set Legends this year?
Yes.
Will
Sarah Ollie. Will
Sarah
Ralston.
Ollie.
Yeah, Rebsy.
Are we worried about our man over here? There's hidden things going on in his life. When he opens up his wallet before to give some money to the big nose producer, he's got euros in his wallet. Now, what sort of man wanders around Melbourne with euros? Someone with something to hide.
Someone who's come back from Europe, probably.
No, mate. No. It's just the man who thinks he's
When was the last time you were
something
in Europe?
To hide.
About 2 weeks ago.
You've got US dollars in there as well. What's the
smacks of someone that may need to make a quick getaway at some
point? What was Leonardo DiCaprio's role? What was that film, Chiefy? Catch me if
Catch
you
me
can.
Can. Yep.
Just
we were asked to come up with a couple of greenbacks, and we presented.
But you also when you pulled out your wallet, the passport came with it, Jim.
Yeah. Well, does Beck know you're rolling a second life at the moment?
Oh, we can't do the second life. Yeah. Having a few euros always handy, Nate.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Pies wandering around on the ground, the flag not too far from being unfurled, the Swans not too far away. Always a privilege to chat to a senior coach on the night of the game. John Longmire is always very generous with his time. He joins us on the Friday Huddle. Mark Howard here. John, good evening to you.
G'day, Howie.
Great to speak with you. Errol Goulden, every article I read, every radio station I listen to, they're talking about this young man. Tell us about him, when you first came across him and how he's progressed as a footballer and I presume under your leadership as a person.
Well, I came across him when he was about six or seven. he's a kid I've known for a long time, and my son used to play junior soccer with him, and so I got to know the family really well from a young age. And from the moment that I saw him, he was a gun soccer player as well, and he was just such a competitor. And you know, he's been like that all the way through, right through our academy. We've been able to keep a close eye on him, and wonderful to have a local product playing for us and doing so well.
Boys, he must have been really satisfied for Brody Grundy against his old side to come out and play the way he did in opening round, and he gets to do it again this weekend. Can you tell us a bit about his mindset and the attitude that he's got to his footy at the moment?
Yeah, he From the moment he arrived at our footy club, he's been fantastic. I mean, the first training session that he did was highly competitive. He got straight into it, and you can tell straight away that he was just, you know, a real competitor and got after the ground level, just really made his presence felt. And so the boys have loved him. You know, the way he's fit into our footy club on and off the field has been super. He's really embraced Sydney and we've embraced him. And, you know, last week was a really good start for him. I mean, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, he plays Melbourne last week and Collingwood this week. So it's a big couple of weeks for him and the footy club. But he's been fantastic. He got back to work. He was in the club working the next day after last week's game and looking forward to going again.
Horse, I've been super impressed with Hayden McLean. I think he looks your most dangerous forward when he goes down there. I know he's played some ruck, but 50 games now, does he play more as a forward now with Brodie Grundy, or will he switch and rotate as well?
No, he'll also add another dimension for their ruck. I mean, he goes on ball. He's got a massive tank. He's a terrific runner for his size, and that gives us the advantage for him to play forward, but also to go on ball and not lose anything as far as contest and run. He's a great athlete, and so he'll do a bit of that tonight. If we need a Marty to do that as well, we can do it. But generally, Joel can do both roles pretty well. So, you know, he's come on pretty well the last couple of years, and particularly in the end of last year was fantastic for us.
Horse, what did you make of the Pies last week? They got smashed at the stoppages by GWS, and they still created some opportunities, though, and some chances going forward. They just didn't execute as well. What are you expecting from them tonight?
Yeah, I thought it was only really the ground balls they got beaten in, and I thought everything else, that they won the inside 50 scoring shots, and, you know, I think they did a fair bit right. You know, they had 60 inside 50s, so they had their opportunities, and GWS were able to score really efficiently, and conversion's such a big part of the game now and always has been. And so for GWS to kick straight really made it, you know, a big difference on the scoreboard. So they probably would have got something out of it last week, Collingwood. I'm sure they would have. And whilst they were disappointed not naturally to lose, they still got a fair bit out of the game, I think. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes again tonight. You know, we're really looking forward to it, as are they. So it'll be really interesting to see how it goes.
John, Dane Rampey's been around for a long time in footy terms and has been the captain of this footy club. He's relinquished that role this particular year. But just on the back of what he did last week, he's certainly showing no signs of having any less of an impact for you in 2024, is he?
Yeah, he's super. He can play on talls and smalls, and that's one of his great strengths, is that he can play on any matchup. And I think he's 33, and he's a wonderful competitor. He started his footy a bit later. He went through four national drafts before we picked him up as a rookie. So he's had a wonderful career, and he goes so well. You know, he's a great asset to have to the footy club on the field, but also off the field. He's got great empathy. He's a highly emotionally intelligent fella, as far as you know, he understands the psyche of the group, and you know, I rely upon him heavily, so he's a great asset to our footy club.
What about, how are you seeing the evolution of the game in 2024? Horse, I was up in Sydney watching you guys last week. A lot of quick short kicks that kept possession rather than just taking territory necessarily and bombing it long. Played a quicker, shorter game at times. Is there a trend that you see in the game at the moment, or is it just horses for courses?
It's a bit early to tell, I think, Jason. And I think last week, you know, particularly with the Melbourne strength with Lever and those guys, I think it'll take about 5 or 6 weeks before it to settle down. But, you know, I think we've got to be a little bit mindful and a bit careful of sort of branding how the game's going after one game. And sometimes for those particular opposition that you're playing, you play a certain way, yeah, and you need to adjust your style at different times. So, you know, it takes about, for me, 5 or 6 weeks before I get a bit of a trend of the season. And, you know, I think we're seeing a faster game, but, you know, how it actually stacks up, well, we won't know until about 5 or 6 weeks in.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Sydney Swans tonight.
Thanks.
Great to speak to John Longmire as Peter Moore comes out. He'll be joining us shortly, holding up the Premiership Cup. So the scene out there, every one of Collingwood's Premiership Cups is out in the middle of the ground. There's people, there's fanfare, the flag is being unfurled, and it's quite a large imposition on the inside 50, Damo. But it is currently 6:26, so there's probably, I don't know, 20,000 people here. This club, the best thing about this Premiership has been the celebration for me, the movie, the openness, the talking about it. Has someone within the organisation reined it back in and said, listen, we're being talked too much about the Premiership, which would be a great shame, and we're going to just sneak it away early, or is it because it's such a production it needs to be done now?
Yeah, I think it's the former, Howie. Again, I've asked, or, you know, spoken to people at Collingwood. They're saying it's not. They're saying it's scheduled at this time because that's the only time they could do it, to get it properly done and to get the ground clear, to allow it to be basically cleared of everything, to then get the teams back on, both teams back on to practice. So that's the official line, Howie. we know what Lee Matthews said last week. We know they lost and they were a little bit lethargic. And under Craig McRae's watch, they didn't play well compared with how they'd been playing for the previous two seasons. So I think you throw it all in the mix. This now is very much last year's issue. We've already played a game of footy in 2024. They've lost it. I think that's why it's all been sort of brought forward and pushed into this time frame.
Where do you sit on this, Chief? I'm fascinated as someone who won four, probably should have won five if you had known how to get through an ankle sprain. But are you someone that has moved with the times and thinks that this is great to take the time out to celebrate, or are you in the Lee Matthews camp, time to put it away and move on?
No, I mean, if they had won last week, it wouldn't have been mentioned, would it?
It wouldn't have been, Chief, I agree.
It's just the way we interpret loss. I mean, they're a good team that's had a shorter preparation than all other teams, bar one, that they played in the grand final. So these things happen. It's not unheard of in other sports. You go to the NBA, they unfurl the championship flag from the year before at the first home game. You get your supporters that can come and enjoy it. I have no problem with what they're doing. And they're big productions. To put together a film and all those sorts of things, the editing and post-production that takes place before you can then present it publicly, you can't just make them happen a couple of weeks after the season and say, all right, the celebration's done. I don't think it does not impact the players one bit. And they're the only ones that matter. If it's not impacting the players, pump it up all you like.
Darcy, you're the most emotionally connected man in this box. Is this, without getting too highbrow, a reflection of the Australian psyche, unfortunately, that we don't want anyone to get above themselves, we don't want to celebrate anyone's success because, oh, they might have a cropper next week. And if they're losing a game of football last week, next week, in 3 weeks' time, because of a premiership that happened last year and a flag, like if Collingwood ran out through the banner tonight and the flag went up at that moment, Darcy, that's what I want to see.
100% it is, Howie. But you've got to remember fairly recent history. St Kilda's last time to stand on a podium, Grant Thomas had eaten 12 buckets of lemons.
And the Wizard Cup.
Was trying, because you can't pretend that that's a joyful experience. Look, but that's the saddest photo in world sport, that. You won the pre-season, enjoy it. The modern player don't give a stuff about. Look at Nick Daicos down there having a laugh and enjoying the moment. Do you reckon he is going to have his game affected tonight because he's going to stand out there and watch?
So why do we write about it? Why do we write about it and say, oh, there's three blokes in the Collingwood film and the rest are going to have their nose out of joint because they weren't part of it and it's splitting the side, Damo.
But the reason we are talking about it, and this is what is unusual, often it can be a media-driven angle. Just someone bored and I'm putting my hand up in the past, having done stuff, you know, out of nowhere for Phil Spay's reasons. This was Lee Matthews who said it. He led the debate on it. The great Lee Matthews, who coached the same football club to what was a drought-breaking premiership in 1990.
Which is a media-led debate, because Lee's in an opinion-based show.
Well, he's getting paid again for his opinion. So,
here's the thing, Damo. If they win last week and have a big win away from home to kick off the season again, we're probably sitting here saying, how great that they're celebrating it. This is one of the reasons, because they've embraced everything. And we'd be looking at it as a positive.
But it is great they're celebrating.
I agree.
We want them celebrating when there's 70,000 people here, Chiefy.
Absolutely. And what amazes me, Howard, is that you think that Darcy is the most emotionally connected person
I think
in this box.
The most accurate thing.
Also the most volatile, but I think he's emotionally
connected. Why is he emotionally connected? Just drill down on what makes him emotionally connected.
I watch the House of Wellness every week, and this man is spiritually, emotionally, and physically connected.
Chief, if you want to know what to put in your lunchbox, I can tell you that on the House of Wellness on a Monday, for example. Just because I haven't found God like you, Nate, is a very different story to emotional intelligence.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Furled the flag, their supporters have got the opportunity to celebrate. The players will be out here soon. There's been fireworks, the full works. Damo, before we get to Nate's top five, there wasn't a top five yesterday, and now there is today. So it's come late, but it's very good.
It always is.
Maybe a little bit of news before that, Damo.
Well, we just got confirmation, unfortunately, for Gibkiss last night from Richmond. He has done an ACL, and it's now the third one, Chief, in a very short period of time. Only four matches last week in opening round, one to date of round one. So five matches in total. Three players have gone down. Kadeen Coleman, Sam Doherty, and now Josh Gibkiss. So it's, again, these things happen, but they're destabilising, obviously, for the clubs, but shattering for the individual.
They are, and it has a massive impact. But the worst thing is, for Coleman and Gibkiss, they're young players just starting on what we think is going to be a spectacular career, and this is the sort of thing that can have a massive impact on how far they actually go and how good they actually can become. It's really, really sad, but unlike head knocks, we can't change the rules to lessen the impact on legs when we've got great athletes running and jumping and doing what they do. It's just the luck of the draw. Some players have a different physiology to others. Some have looser joints. Some have tired joints. Some are more susceptible to these sort of things. It is the luck of the draw.
It's a real shame for Gibkiss, Howie. Obviously a really high pick and someone the Tigers had pinned a lot of hope on and missed all of 2023 with complications to a hamstring issue, and now in the second game of his this season for him, he's gone down again and will miss the remainder of it.
Damo, when you see him play and he's healthy, he looks like a 250 game All-Australian defender. That's early on in his career, so it's a setback. I remember when Max Gawn did his second knee before he got started, and you thought he's never ever going to get to the level that you hoped. And for him at his height to be a six-time All-Australian, since the recovery's better, the surgery's better, he'll come back and be a very good player.
Yeah, and it's amazing what Chief was saying. It's your body type. But, Darcy, you were telling us last night that Isaac Smith, if he felt like he'd done his calf, he changes his running gait to run a little bit differently. He's able to run through it.
He shared that with me, I think it was off air, but I was asking him, have you ever had a bit of a nick? We were talking about Deon Prestia now with a soft tissue injury. And that was a remarkable thing to say.
Unbelievable.
That he changed the way he ran mid-game.
To get through a calf.
Get through and not miss.
And very rarely got injured, Isaac Smith. Mm.
Didn't miss it. Justin Longmire, Chief, you were really strong on this on Fox Footy last night. I have a very similar take to the situation at the Dockers. They decided on the eve of round one to extend his tenure at the club by 1 year. He was contracted initially until the end of 2024. He's been there four seasons. The best result was his third season, which resulted in a finals win, an elimination finals win, semi-final loss. Last year was not good for him or the club. Coming out of contract this year, now has 2025 tacked onto it. Just for those who missed what you said, please repeat.
Well, I'm bemused, Warrior. I'm befuddled, bewildered. I'm completely dumbfounded why a club would come out to a coach that our perception from outside the club is that he could be under pressure if they have a poor season, and they give him a one-year extension, which is the year after this current season. So if everything falls apart and you do want to make a change, you've just tied your hands behind your back because you've already given him another year. If you're prepared to back him in and say he's our coach long-term, we'll sign him for 3 years and say we've got no doubt. We've seen what he's doing. Yes, the results aren't there, but we believe wholeheartedly in the process we're on and we're backing him in. Great, do that. But don't think giving him a 12-month extension is going to take the pressure off him and stop the press talking about, oh, he's going to be under the pump if they have a poor year. Absolute. I just couldn't believe the logic behind it.
Yeah, I share the same view, and I actually feel it actually only increases now the scrutiny on him and the weight of results if they are in the negative for him.
Time for...
He's a self-proclaimed footy superstar.
I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL.
He fears nothing and no one.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air, but I've gone with it anyway. Yeah.
And he sees the world a little differently.
Just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
This is Nathan Brown's Top 5.
That Komodo dragon, that was in the dark old days of COVID.
That was in Sydney, yeah. So we saw something that we don't often see last night. So Charlie Curnow kicked what we thought was maybe a goal on the goal line, and then it got turned over. We thought it was going to be given a point, but it was given at the umpire's discretion holding the ball. So if that had been given a point, it's a six-point margin. Maybe Richmond go down the other end and kick a goal, and it's a draw. They go down, kick a goal, maybe it's a one-point win. So it could have changed the outcome of both clubs' season. So I thought, top five retrospective, if you could go back and some of the biggest moments in AFL history, and then if they had that technology last night and the umpire was able to make a decision on the run by quickly looking at it, like the umpire did, I'm going to pay it holding
the
ball.
So a serious top five?
It's sort of a serious top five. I've got a couple of funny ones in there as well. So I'll start with the funny one. They've actually rewatched and gone through 300 minutes of tape, and they still haven't found a single possession Darce had in his first free
go. Oh!
That's retrospective as well.
Is that your funny one, is it?
Yeah, I laughed.
It wasn't amusing. It wasn't laughing. Funny one. No, it wasn't amusing. So let's go. And this one happened last year. Number five, Benny Keys. So I thought Adelaide were on the march last year. Yep. If that goal umpire hadn't have signalled a point and it was a given a goal, I thought Adelaide could do some damage in last year's finals. So number five, retrospective, could Adelaide have done some damage last year? Do you think so, Duke?
I think they could have. I think they were on a charge, Nate.
Number four. Let's go to number four. There's another funny coming later. You'll like this one, Howie.
Good.
So Collingwood could have another premiership. They've won the most, 16, with Carlton, Collingwood and Essendon. But 2018, they go back with the flight, being West Coast Eagles, and obviously we know that the goal was kicked, but it was a clear free kick to Maynard. Maynard was manhandled off the ball by Ryan. So if that was then, like last night, given a free kick after the fact, Collingwood win the grand final. All of a sudden, they've got 17 grand finals.
Is there audio here or not?
No audio. This is a quick one, Harry. Right.
Might Number have been three. Better if there was, but it's good.
Tom Hawkins.
Really?
Tom Hawkins in 09 hits the post. St Kilda could have had their first premiership since 1966. That didn't happen. And then Carlton in 1979, Wayne Harms on the boundary line. If they could have, like they did last night, you go back,
yes,
they could have tapped it in. All of a sudden, Collingwood is clear. They have 18 premierships, two more than Essendon, two more than Carlton. But the number one of all time, and we didn't need the video for this, we needed an X-ray machine to go back and check on Chief's heart in 1987 just to see why he refused to
play. No, this is not funny.
In 1987 with that rolled ankle. He refused
I'm
the
not
jab.
Laughing at this.
Hawthorn, I tell you what happened here.
What happened,
Hawthorn could have been the second only club in the competition's history behind Collingwood to win four in a row in 86, 87, 88, 89. All of a sudden, he's let down so many of his teammates by not being able to present himself on that day.
Someone might want to inform Nate that I actually got ruled out for failing the fitness test. I wanted to play.
Of course, you
got ruled out. But I thought that really had some sizzle, that top five. Mate, that's up there with some of the best work you've done.
Who ruled you out, Chief?
The match committee.
Right. You thought you were right to go?
Oh, not really, but I kind
You'd
of...
You'd missed the previous week too, hadn't you,
yeah,
Chief?
Yeah. Missed the prelim.
Do you think you were the 7-goal difference the Hawks
needed? Should have thought you jabbed it up.
100%.
Old-fashioned fitness test.
Yeah. I would have thought it's yeah.
And I got flogged in the fitness. It was, I remember doing it with Rod Lester-Smith. They just kept throwing one-on-ones along the ground. And he's going, come on, mate, keep going, keep going. I was rooted, Duke. I mean, it was like doing a pre-season run. And then they're going, oh, it's going to be 35 on the weekend. Jeez, you're hobbling a bit. I mean, I've got no doubt that decision cost Hawks premiership.
Who came in for you, Chief?
Darren Pritchard, I reckon.
Oh, good Pritchie, player.
Yeah.
Good kick.
Who would have been a second-year player, let's say, or first-year player. That's maybe first year.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Leading up to the Pies taking on the Swans, Mark Howe with you, Luke Darcy, Jason Dunstall, Damien Barrett and Nathan Brown. And a true privilege to have this man in the box. 172 games with the Pies, 97 with Melbourne, 249 in total, two Brownlow medals. Peter Moore joins us. Pete, great to see you. How are you going?
Good, Howie. Yep, it's good day. Nice to see everybody here at the G.
We'll get to what's happened out there in the middle, but how have you found the transition from being a two-time Brownlow medalist to the father of Darcy Moore?
Yes, I've been relegated heavily.
Yes.
But now my
how are you dealing with that?
Yeah, my reputation's been trashed, really, considering what Darcy's done. No, look, it was great. Last year was just one out of the box, you know. We all know how hard it is, and everything's got to go right, and they were lucky. Everything went right and played great, and they were well organised, so... Just to be part of it was fantastic, and share it with Darcy at the end there was really special. Like, you just never get to do that again.
Tell us about
Luke might get to do it.
Well, you know? Exactly.
He could get to do it.
Feel like a long way away, you know, Peter. But that must have been as emotional as it gets, isn't it, to see your son who just carries himself so beautifully. You must have pinched yourself.
Yeah, no, it was great. You know, just the first part that was really a thrill was when I took the cup out with Lee, you know, just out the front here. And they said, oh, you got to stay, you know, stay with the umpires. And I was 10 metres from Darcy, you know, during the national anthem, which was fantastic. So I got to share that with him, give him a hug before the game, which we weren't expecting. So that was great. And then I was sort of filled with trepidation and, God, I hope they, you know, pull it off. And it's me and not Lee presenting the cup. And, you know, they finally got there in the last sort of few minutes. So after the game, it was just, you know, fantastic to be out there with all the boys and particularly to share it with Darcy. I've had a lot of people who've got sons and, you know, fathers and sons, and thinking, God, you know, what a moment. And it was a great moment for fathers and sons everywhere, I think. So, real privilege. I really got a kick out of it.
He appears to be a young man with so many wonderful traits. We can only assume he gets them from mum.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know me pretty well, Jason. You know, it probably didn't come from me. But he's just one of those guys, very authentic, sort of new age type guy, you know, what... You see is what you get, and he's very passionate about what he does, and you know, loving leading the club and being involved. I mean, he was there all the way through when I was coaching there for a while, with Mick Malthouse. You know, Darce was kicking the ball around the rooms and was always there, and Mick would let him stay in the rooms and even come into the team room and listen to the speech. You know, he's like a 7 or 8 year old, and Mick was incredibly generous to him, and that just fired him up. And he was, you know, if he was good enough, he was going to always play, hopefully, for Collingwood. So yeah, it's been a dream story for him, and I'm just rapt to be part of it, and that he's you know, so well regarded, and he's doing such a nice job.
Did you get to partially maybe celebrate the premiership as though it was yours, given the heartache and heartbreak that you personally...
No, it wasn't mine.
No.
It was not mine at all, no. Look, it had nothing to do with, you know, it didn't make me feel any better about us losing the 4 and 1 draw and 4 losses. It's, you know, brutal when that happens. So it didn't really go to repair that those disappointments, but certainly, you know, to see your son and his mates, and I know all the boys and the coaches, and it was just great to see them share it, and I know how hard it is to get there, and to pull it off is always fantastic, you know.
That's the voice of Peter Moore with us in the box. Pete, with the greatest possible respect, you talked about the 4 premierships. You know, you've got a loving family, you've got everything in life, you've got an incredibly successful business. Do you look back on games of football? It's a game you play, and look back and think, gee, what if? Or has you got such a full life that that was then and you don't ever think about it?
Oh, no, I moved on pretty quick. I retired at 30 from boredom. You know, I was done with it. I didn't like coaches telling me what to do, and had other things to do. I was had businesses and other... I was practicing law at that point, you know, so I was really done by the time I finished. And so I was happy to move on, really was. I had a great time playing footy. It was exciting. Got to play in, you know, 20-whatever finals, 25, 26 finals, 5 grand finals, you know, which a lot of players just don't get to do. I went to Melbourne and played with Robbie Flower, who'd never played in one until that year that Northie got him there. So, you know, it was a great privilege to play, and I really enjoyed it. But, you know, I tended to move on, particularly the first 10 or 15 years, and then when Darce got a bit involved in footy, then I came back to it. But no, I just sort of moved away completely from it. So don't really reflect much on my game, other than the blokes I played with and seeing Banksy out on the field there and a few other blokes. You know, it's always a great part of footy is your mates and people you played with. But I moved on. To answer your question,
we were talking about how loud the Carlton crowd were last night. We look at this, 100,000, and it's a beautiful stadium. You played your home games at Victoria Park. Take us into that.
Feral.
Packed house at Victoria Park. Well, what was it like?
I reckon the only worst place was Windy Hill, you know, to play. But, oh, look, it must have been awful I did play there for Melbourne, actually, one game, which I got it from the other side. It was pretty brutal, you know. There wasn't a lot of compliments coming over the fence, but... I had a good game that game. My first game for Melbourne at the MCG, I didn't play that well and we lost, so that wasn't all that joyous. But later in the year, we won and I had a real good game, and I kind of enjoyed that. But no, it was pretty tough, those little suburban grounds. Everyone's packed in there. It was a baptism of fire for opposition teams for sure. And so I don't think I would have enjoyed it. But, you know, those suburban grounds, you know, compared to what we... The great atmosphere still, but compared with what we've got now to play on the surface that they get to play on, the mud we used to play in, you know, it's incredible. So it's a lot better now, that's for sure.
There was no bigger name, Peter, than your own there for the period in which you were at the peak of your powers. You won Brownlow medals at 2 clubs. You were also the focus at the time of the biggest transfer in footy when you left Collingwood to go to Melbourne. Yep. Kelvin Templeton was part of it. But you created a lot of headlines. You never sort of gave the impression you wanted it. How did you cope with all of that?
Oh, it just goes, well, I said to Darce, you know, you're going to, you know, when he was going to be captain of Collingwood, I said, well, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, your life's not your own. And that's really what it's like. And probably no different in our day in terms of the focus on Collingwood, but and other big clubs as well. But the issue, you know, obviously now is the social media and all that creates a lot more media. You know, we used to go to training, and Jason, and when he started, would remember just, you know, there's 5 or 6 journalists, that was it, you know, and you just talked them in the weight room or something, you know. It was pretty casual. But now, you know, there's a lot of journalists looking for a lot of stories, so it's all changed. And I guess it goes with the territory of being part of Collingwood or any other big club, and you know, you don't look for headlines. I was sort of recluse. I was hiding out, trying to avoid it. But, you know, not like and Jason, I know, is exactly the same. But Dermot, on the other hand, and Kinky would be out there, you know, holding press conferences and calling the media in to grandstand at any opportunity. So We're all different.
You Peter, on a slightly different tangent, you walked in the box and you said to the chief, you said, I haven't seen you on the slopes for a while. You two have crossed paths overseas skiing. What's our man like as a skier?
He's a great athlete, as you know, and he's an excellent skier. We were our great mutual friend was Barry Gavin, who's a physio at Hawthorn Footy Club, and Barry's very well known, you know, in the AFL, in my era particularly, and it was our connection. We used to meet up in Aspen, and I think Ian Dicker had a house there, Jason would avail himself of that from time to time, you know. And
he's being very generous, very liberal with his compliments. I've improved a lot since we last. That was about 15 years ago.
It was a while ago. Yeah, but a lot of fun though. We had a lot.
Maury, an elite skier, big man, elite skier though. Yeah,
which one of those people was good at everything.
Yeah, very, very good.
Well, I love my skiing. I was just over there recently skiing, and age is catching up though. The preparation. I tried to train, but you just can't train hard enough. I was running upstairs, you know, and flights of stairs and trying to get fit, and you get over there in the first 3 days, you know, go about 3 hours and you're buggered.
You find yourself getting less daring on the slopes as well.
A bit more conservative.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
just sort of not quite sure. So I find you don't have the muscle speed to react. So if you ever make a mistake, you can't recover as easily as when you're so young and fit. So, yeah, no, I'm a bit conservative, Jason. Just, you know, trying to perpetuate my career in skiing as long as I can.
Peter, just before we let you go, you talked about your son and how deep think he is. He's got a coach that seems to compliment him beautifully. Obviously, you had some very famous names coaching you. How have you seen the change of coaches telling you what you were doing wrong to the modern world where it seems the coaches tell you what you're doing right?
Oh, it's just totally evolved, hasn't it, psychologically, the way they approach it. I think, you know, the kids today are not going to respond to the sort of coaching that we would put up with in our day. But Tom Hafey was pretty inclusive and pretty positive. You know, he was a guy that, you know, basically, you know, his message was, well, you're our best player. If you play well, we win. You know, it's the stats, you know, so just play well. And that was it, and just let you play. But
And you usually did.
You tried, you know. tried, and
then, even in the grand finals.
Yeah, you just got to... Yeah, it was in more of an individual performance, you know, very still team-oriented, but today, you know, this whole team system process thing is the key, so it's not up to individuals, and it's hard for us watching to think, you know, someone's supposed to be picking up someone else, but that's not what we're seeing. It's you know, it's a whole team process. So I love the way that Craig and the new coaches go about it, and Dimmer's the same, and, you know, Adam Uzay and all those guys that come up in that school are all the new... a breed of coaches, and I think that's, you know, clearly the way to go. Yeah,
Pete, great to see you. Enjoy the game tonight, and congratulations on all your success and your family's success and how well your son has represented himself in the public space. It's when he spoke on Anzac Day, I think the whole football world just stood up and applauded. So yeah. I'm sure that means more to you than his ability on the football.
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, the person he is what matters to me, and I'm very pleased and proud of the person that he is. And the footy, you know, if it goes well, it goes well, you know. So we just do our best. But thanks, Howie. Thanks, boys. It was
great
a pleasure
to
come here.
It was great to see you. Peter Moore in here, two-time Brownlow medalist.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Swans versus the Pies. The Pies are out down the punt road end. The Swans in front of the Ponsford stand. Just a perfect night for football. Crowd continues to build. We'll talk about the game shortly. Massive game for Collingwood. They don't want to be 0-2 in the premiership defence. And the Swans with Edie, Goulden and the like.
Warner.
Yeah, Warner. And I was watching your man Tom Papley doing a Steph Curry-style impersonation from the Luke Hodge pocket down there. Tunners was counting, he had 25 snaps, of which he kicked 23 around the body. It was quite extraordinary. But, Damo.
It's a really nice moment too, Howie. I saw Jamie Elliott run from 50 metres away to give big Brody Grundy a big hug. I know it's not the first time Grundy's going up against Collingwood. He did so for Melbourne last year, but first time as a Swan, and you could just tell it was a genuine, how you doing?
Damo, always interesting when people are ranked or rated. The Herald Sun this week put out the top 50 most influential people in football, with the current CEO as the number one. You would have cast your eye across the list. What did you think of it?
A lot of News Limited people in the News Limited list.
Okay.
And Foxtel people.
Das, I won't have asked you because you've got this incredible ability just to consume zero news during the week.
Used to consume a lot, Howie, for a long time.
Did you?
In the morning. Well, I was doing breakfast radio, so you read every paper cover to cover, and I think I've exhausted that. But this always fascinates me. So a lot of people won't understand News Limited. That would be people who write for the Herald Sun demo. Foxtel is owned by News.
Yes, I was including Foxtel within the assessment.
Which is the Murdoch. Yep. So there was a few who was on the list from
there. Everyone from News Limited and Foxtel, Das, they were all on it. Chief, on air, off air.
This is sort of where we're getting to.
Chief, not in the top.
No point having an old geezer in there, Chief.
I thought we'd cast around the box and rank as a general average between us where we thought you four would appear in this list.
No. Include yourself in this, please.
No, I don't need to be in it. But
you're the juggernaut.
Whether you'd be in the top 50 or maybe you would have snuck out to 70 or 80. So just a general discussion about it. We'll start with Damo. Now, I'll give you the form line. So Damo, to me, he's the preeminent voice in football. He's the number one opinionist. He dominates the AFL website. Where does the AFL website rank as a website in Australia?
Oh, number one.
Number one.
Yeah.
He's got his AFL daily podcast, which is absolutely enormous. He's on Footy Classified. He does the Footy Show. You still whack away on that with Nate on a Sunday morning, don't you?
So best show on TV.
He covers it all. So,
when was the last story you broke?
Essendon drugs saga in 2013.
We've been able to morph out of the news, Brownie.
So Chief, I know you're good in these areas. So his contemporaries in the list, Michael Warner came in at 44 the list. Mark Robinson came in at 22. So they're your sort of journos in the list.
Where do they work?
They work at the Herald Sun. Which might be your point, Dave. So where do we think as a group, if you've got...
Was Caro on it? Was Caro on the list?
Because she
had to be on the list. No, if you do a list of anything, she has to be on the list.
So you've got Mick Warner, 42,
okay.
44, Mark Robinson...
Why wasn't Caro on it?
22. I didn't write the list, mate. I just read the list in the paper. So where do we think our man's top 50 worthy?
Yes. Somewhere in between those two, I would have thought.
Okay. So higher than Warner, but you're thinking he's below Mark Robinson.
I rate Malcolm Warner. No, he takes no prisoners. I know that you've got a bit of an issue with a few I think Michael Warner's a very good journalist.
Okay. I think Damo was offered the chief role in there and knocked it back. So that gives you an indication of where he could place if he was on the inside. So I would say right at the top of the tree.
So he's in, what, 30-ish?
No, 20.
I've got higher. I've got Damo in the top 15.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is your area. So Mark Robinson's 22. So where's Damo? Give me a number.
Above Robbo.
Okay, so 21. 21 for Damo. We'll put Damo in at 21. Now, I look at my man, Nathan Brown, the smooth four-headed one. So the greatest comparison I can get here. Now, when I look at him, he's involved with a betting agency where he does a lot of content. He does the Sunday football show. He's what else do you do, Nate?
Well, he's a host too.
He's a host. And he's about to step into the ring. And he's connected to higher powers, obviously, with the church, which I think gets you a couple extra.
I think it does.
But the main comparison I can find is the man he's fighting because Nate's got strong opinions. So Kane Corns, Chiefy, came in at 27. That's the best baseline I can get for Nate. So, do we think Nate's top 50 man for a start, Dallas?
Absolutely.
Nate's definitely with a rocket wherever he is. So, if he's fighting Kane Corns, I would say they've got to be on par.
Okay.
I don't think I should be in the top 50 most influential people in the AFL, Howie. I think it's a big joke, really.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, that puts a bit of a stymie on the whole segment, but okay. Chiefy, where's our man?
Nate's not in the top 50.
Okay.
Nate has a more ethereal presence. He's more global issues.
Okay.
He's about the welfare of humankind.
And Bitcoin.
Correct.
So what number, Chief? If he's not 50, where is he?
2,500.
Howie, just to put this in context, if Nathan Brown had a connection to News Limited or Foxtel, on the basis of what happened in that list you referred to, our man would be in the top 20.
Okay.
That's how influential he is.
Now, this one interested me. This one, because I look at Jason, who is my hero. He's kicked 1,254 goals. Four premierships. He delivered Hawthorn a three-peat by signing Alistair Clark.
That's history, mate.
Hence the name he was the chief. He hosts the Bounce, which is the best. It even saw off my show. That's how good it was.
And the Renegades.
Yes. He looked after the Renegades when they only won a premiership. They haven't won a game since.
He ran the Jockeys Association.
None of that influences the AFL, your tools.
Ran the Hawthorn Football Club, set up their four premierships.
That's right. Did we mention two dogs and socially very successful. So that's what you get with Chief.
And he's in the camp. He's
Fox. Well, okay. So
I'm the outlier.
My nearest comparison to
who's
him,
in there from Fox?
This is where it interests me because coming in at number 40, listed as Fox Footy's biggest bopper. Gary Lyon. So I think Chiefs the number one in there. I work in there. I see the dynamic.
It's a juggernaut, that Sunday show.
It is, the bounce.
It has nothing to do with influencing the AFL.
Well, you speak to the kids.
Love
when,
of football.
When we did the dodgeball, there was kids lined up around the corner to get a piece
Howie,
of the
Chiefs. There's two types of people. Those that chase power and want power and work actively to do it.
Yep.
And then you've got those that just naturally
just have power. Real like power.
Who has no natural predator.
No, zero.
That's a really good point, though.
Jason, all jokes aside, you could be the CEO of the whole organisation. You are that intelligent.
No, and that's that a good
much,
call.
And that much power.
He's turning,
I think you're very level-headed.
What do you think, 60's a bit Joe Biden?
I'm winding down.
Joe Biden.
Struggling to find a few words every now and then.
Okay, so if Gary's 40, where's the chief?
15.
12. Okay, so it's 12 for chief. Now, Das, I've struggled to mount too many arguments for you. I just want to say,
he's on the board of a club.
That's his starting point.
He runs
point.
A football club.
Well, this is my starting point.
Talk about Chiefs shaping Hawthorn. Okay. Stars shape the Bulldogs. Before he got Luke Beveridge on.
Before you speak.
Now, does the House of Wellness get some credit?
It does. You're emotionally connected with the House of Wellness.
Correct.
You're on the board.
Businessman too, Sukavati.
Businessman, Sukavati, prime caller alongside Jason Bennett on Saturday nights at 7.
But
I think you can really...
You reckon the needle's going the other way?
No, you can add to his star because he is the father of Sam. And we know he jams himself in every single photo, every media opportunity.
Just clawing
he's
onto him for
he's
as
a friend
as
of Frydenberg's. He's been offered a job in the Liberal Party.
Yep, as Juddy told us, he put a vote for Josh sticker up in the front of his house. Chief, there's no natural connection in the list, but where's our man in the top?
There's no doubt as a footy caller and a board member he has to be at least in the top 25.
I didn't see anybody else taking on the Premier when absolutely destroying our state.
In fact, changed the whole narrative, Brownie.
He did. Pulled us out of COVID.
It was a turning point for Victoria.
He pulled us out of lockdown, to be honest. So he might be
not
a top 10.
A lot of connection to the AFL power brokers, Howie. But I think it's time to focus on you for a moment.
Yeah, good call. Yeah.
As someone who is actively seeking power, someone who comes into this box and talks about the buckets of money that he can't spend because Foxtel want him to call the cricket. They want him to now
US dollars
take over footy next year. He's already eyeing off the fact, Chief.
He actually craves power and validation, doesn't he?
More than anyone
Is there a better networker in the competition than our man Howard?
Absolutely.
Another word for it, suck.
Okay.
Goes on holidays with Nat Fyfe.
Yep.
And very happy
wanted
to
tell everybody.
just lets it slip into conversation.
Please ask me about my holiday and who I went surfing with.
Nat, who? I know Fyfe.
How he does
so what number
hang
are we
on going a minute.
With
no, just because he's doing a bit, has a lot of videos of himself doing, you know, inject himself into, and doing a magnificent job.
It's
Howie,
a bit upset at times.
Unfortunately, out of contract in August, so it could...
A podcast that is very... It's still going.
That is Australia's number one sports podcast. That's true.
Australia's number one.
There you go.
That is true. And we might be relying on that come August.
Lost a few points, though, Dust, when Best on Ground was moved on. That he lost a few points in the rankings there.
That's taken a little bit of skin off.
Yeah. So I reckon it's probably taken him from about, say, 15 to 19.
How big was his contract? Now, let's go financial because...
So originally, the 6x6. So it was
six years at...
By $600,000 a year. But that was only for cricket at that point. So since then, they've added the football.
So what's the new deal going to be? You know he's out of contract.
Well, last year, I did the top five, and I had him at 1.2. $1.2 million per year. And he tells Erica
just for football
$100,000. I don't know where the other 800,000.
He's got a slush fund on the side.
We heard that phone call pre-show one night last year.
He's a 1.5 man now.
I forgot to tell you to a couple of weeks coming up. I've got to go to the IPL for a couple of weeks. Well, I forgot to tell you boys about that. So.
No one more influential in this box than you, Howie.
But well done to everybody on the list.
Where was Eddie?
That was a surprise admission for me. Eddie was not on the list, which I found a very surprising and outrageous overlook. Not in the top 50. I found that outrageous.
No carrot.
No Caroline Wilson as well.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Treat to be joined by this man, two-time premiership pie by the name of Steele Side Bottom. Mark Howard here. Steele, good afternoon to you. What a cracking afternoon and evening is at the MCG.
How good to be back. The surface looks elite. Already plenty of fans here, so, couldn't ask to be anywhere else, really.
Still, the 2023 Premiership flag has been unfurled. You're back at the MCG. Talk us through that late goal you flushed grand final day. You could not have kicked out any better.
Yeah, I've heard Howie call that kick a few times, I must admit. I've watched it back a couple of times. But, it's funny what your body can do with a bit of adrenaline going through it. I've never hit the ball so sweetly in my life. And, it's one moment that I'll never forget for sure.
Did you hear the lead-up where Chief and Nate said you both couldn't kick it that fast, Dylan?
Well, I think 99% of the population thought the exact same thing.
Now, Steele, I see the great Lee Matthews has basically written Collingwood off because you're still celebrating premierships. I suspect the players did nothing more than have a laugh at that.
To be honest, yep. everyone's entitled to their opinion, but, I think we've one of, I suppose, strengths as well is celebrating the victories and the little wins we have along the way. They don't come around all that often, so it's important to make the most of them, but... I don't think we went too far, but as I said, everyone's entitled their opinion.
What's it done to you, Steele, with the new attitude that the new coach, Craig McRae, has brought? I know you've talked about it a lot and you've reflected upon it after the success of last year, but just being able to live this part of football this way for you at this stage of your career, what's it meant for you?
It's been huge, to be honest, and probably the last couple of years before Fly got to the footy club, my footy was... sort of going downhill a little bit. I just feel like I can turn up now and just enjoy my last few years of footy. I was lucky enough to have some success, at the start of my career, but to live it out now at 32 again, means a hell of a lot more to me. And, I'm just really grateful for the environment that Fly and the rest of the coaches that have been able to create our footy club, and not just for me, but my family, love coming to the footy, more so than ever as well. So, hats off to him.
And just further to that, mate, 310 games under the belt. How many more left in the body and mind?
I still feel okay. I don't pull up like I used to probably 5 years ago, but I'll be playing until I get tapped on the shoulder, that's for sure. I don't have some not fancy job. So, I'll keep playing footy for as long as I can.
I work every Sunday with a former premiership teammate of yours, Daisy Thomas, and he always brings up the fact that you didn't invite him to your wedding. So we just wanted to let Daisy know the reason why he didn't get a start.
You put me on the spot. I don't know. I only had 150 spots, and Daisy, he was probably 151. But I made sure I messaged him the day after his wedding and told him his wedding looked boring and shit. So I didn't get a gig. So thanks, Daisy.
Steele, we appreciate your time. Good luck tonight, and always nice to speak to you.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
The Triple M Footy Friday Huddle for the TAC. Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.